The scripture texts this morning are going to be about baptism. And the reason for that is that at the 9 o'clock service, we baptized Barbara and Ralph Galangi's twin boys. The boys are named Dakota and Jovan. They're approximately a year old. They were born quite premature, and it was very much of a miracle for them to reach their first birthday. And although you did not get to see it, you do get to celebrate it, and you get to reflect on it, because the members of our congregation who were here at 9 o'clock made some promises on your behalf. And this is what they said. They said, "With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this family with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life." Now, we make that promise, all of us, whoever is here that Sunday, on behalf of the whole church, every time a child is baptized, because we understand that it's our responsibility as well as the parents' responsibility to bring the children up in faith. And also, we want to make sure that youth and adults understand that baptism is open to them as well as to children. So it seems important that once in a while we take the time to reflect on baptism and what it means. So first, from Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, despicable, hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." And then from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new." Most of us were or will be baptized by water. Bill McKibben, however, was baptized by bees. Bill was out hiking on a familiar hillside one day when he accidentally stepped on a hive. And without any warning, bees were swarming up his chest, his arms, his face, and stinging him everywhere. The sensation was so unexpected and so strange at first that he almost didn't recognize it as pain. But pain it was, and quickly, his ability to think with any kind of clarity drained away. He was desperate to escape those bees, and so he began to run. He hadn't gotten very far when he cracked his head into a tree branch, split the skin open, blood began to run down his face, further limiting his ability to see anything. It occurred to him at this point that he might die before he made it home. Somehow, though, he kept moving, and about 30 minutes later, he stepped into his own kitchen. His wife took one look at him and began to scream. They went directly to the hospital, where Bill was treated and was able to be released that same day. The experience was traumatic in itself, but especially notable to Bill was the way it affected him for months afterward. "It was as if the tears of pain had irrigated my eyes," writes Bill. "And for weeks afterward, the world seemed in sharper focus whenever I stepped outside." Have you ever had a brand new car with a perfectly clean windshield or cleaned a pair of really grimy eyeglasses? "It was like that," says Bill, "except emotionally. Everything seemed dear and noble and complete. I seemed to move in the world, not through it. The layers of insulation between me and the real world had been removed, and now the breeze was whistling through. You could say that this new state had a dreamlike quality, but it would have been more accurate to say just the opposite. I felt as if I had woken up from a dream. I felt as if I had woken up from a dream. Bill is describing the reality that the sacrament of baptism is meant to invoke, that the world is a sacred and precious place, and that we've been given a new chance to live in it, to truly live, live fully, completely, joyfully, meaningfully. In the church, of course, we baptize with water, not with bee stings, because baptism is symbolic and we're not literally trying to provoke a near-death experience. That is not to say, however, that water is always safe or entirely domesticated. We tend to dwell on the positive meanings of water, its cleansing and life-giving power. We might happily remember times that we had fun being wet, such as in a challenging competition or a recreational adventure. We might also remember times when being wet was an irritation or a nuisance, such as when we had to work in the rain, or we got so sweaty inside of our rubber rain gear that we could hardly stand it. But water can be very powerful. It can toss us and turn us. A lot of water is a mighty force, and it can sweep previously solid structures away in its path. Baptism holds those meanings within it too, recognizing that God can make a clean sweep through our lives, shake things up, and rearrange us, leave us dripping wet with nothing of our old lives, and relying completely on God for the development of the new. Listen to how closely a survivor of the New Orleans flood echoes what Bill McKibben said. This woman was in a little motorboat being driven by a neighbor and accompanied by two relief workers. She wanted to see what had become of her home, the place where she had not only grown up, but had also raised her children and nurtured her grandchildren. When they finally found the place, they saw that the roof was gone, and only the top third of the old oak tree could be seen above the strangely colored water. There was nothing salvageable. Back on dry ground, this 79-year-old woman looked one of the relief workers in the eye and said, "I feel like I died and woke up. I died and woke up. That's my old life out in that water. It's over. Now I have to move on." Those who have been baptized can face world-shattering crises with at least one certainty. God has brought us through the waters before. God has been with us as our old life was washed away and our new life was begun. What God has done in the past, God certainly can do and will do now and in the future. To be baptized is to know that we belong to God and that our lives are always in God's hands. We may, from time to time in our lives, have to start over, but we don't have to start entirely from scratch. We have our faith. We have a home with God. God can be relied on unfailingly to give us strength and to bring us gifts of grace in all circumstances. The Apostle Paul articulates the meaning he finds in his baptism when he writes from prison a letter to his friends in Philippi. "For me," says Paul, "to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, some people might think that the idea of not viewing death as an enemy is all wet. But for Paul, life is a joy because it means getting to serve Christ, and death is not to be feared because it means getting to be fully united with God. Because of his baptism, he is able to find purpose in whatever happens, and he enthusiastically invites others to join him in the water. "Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel," he urges, so that whether I come to see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel. In the United Methodist Church, baptism is offered to infants because it becomes the foundation and the enduring promise of their lives. Babies baptized are in that moment and always afterward God's beloved children. Baptism is offered to young people because it gives them a chance to dedicate their lives and their energies to God at a crucial juncture of their lives. They can firmly declare their intention to seek and serve the good. And baptism is offered to adults of any age because adults really do sometimes need a chance to wipe away the mistakes and the false steps of the past and start over again with a new life centered completely on God's amazing love. We're only baptized once in our lives, but we can always give thanks for our baptism and draw upon its opportunities for forgiveness, belonging, courage, and new beginnings. We're only baptized once, but fulfilling our baptism takes our whole lifetime. This is a statement from Water and the Spirit, which is the official United Methodist theology document on baptism. New birth into new life in Christ, which is signified by baptism, is the beginning of that process of growth in grace and holiness through which God brings us into closer relationship with Jesus Christ and shapes our lives increasingly into conformity with divine will. Baptism is the doorway into sanctified living. The sacrament teaches us to live in the expectation of further gifts of God's grace. It initiates us into a community of faith that prays for holiness. It calls us into life lived in faithfulness to God's gifts. Holy God, the people in New Orleans have been really wet in recent days. And so we pray in this time of trial and distress that each and every survivor might be strengthened and encouraged by your grace. We pray that relief and recovery efforts, as they progress, would not just build the same old thing, dear God, but would build something new, something that gets us a little closer to reflecting your will for how people are to live on this earth. We give you thanks this morning for Barbara and Ralph, who brought their children, Dakota and Joven, to be baptized. We thank you for the way their love and hope remain steadfast through all the highs and lows of this past year. We thank you for the gift of life which each of us has received, and we pray that we might use it to your glory. And dear God, we thank you today for the people of Guatemala who show us how to match great suffering with great faith. We thank you for the opportunities that you have given us to do something to make their lives a little bit better. And we thank you, Lord, for those who are so drenched with the waters of baptism that they are willing to step forward and say, "Where you lead, I will follow." Thank you, Lord, that through our baptism, you make us able to live our lives and do your work in this world. Since we have such hearts of gratitude, we are able to pray with boldness the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.